Ask you, if you will, to turn to 1 Samuel. We'll go to chapter number 4 for just a moment. And then we'll kind of go from there as we follow the Ark of the Covenant. Bow with us in a word of prayer. Then we'll continue and see where the Lord will take us today. Lord, again today, with thankful hearts, as we come to you this morning, as we come to you each and every day of our lives, knowing and understanding that each day that you give us is a blessing from you. Lord, we need not to take it for granted because we are truly in your hands. Wonderful thing is that our destiny is set in you, and we know our final home is going to be heaven. And looking forward to that day. Lord, I thank you for each one who's present here today and those who are listening in. I thank you for your precious word. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit that guides us and walks us through it and helps us to understand it. Because there's absolutely nothing within ourselves that has the ability to comprehend that you have written. But by the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives and our hearts and our minds, we have the ability to understand that there, thus saith the Lord. So we ask you today, Lord, that you just help us to rightly divide the word of truth. We also ask that you would help us as a body of believers to stay firm on your gospel and firm on your word and don't waver. Turn not to the left and not to the right, but go straight forward and follow you. Bless our gathering together today now. In the precious name of Christ we do pray. Amen. If we look in the fourth chapter of the book of 1 Samuel, you know, Brother Tom talked about a fellow called Eli and talked about Samuel being his birth, and then the Lord called him in his messages last Sunday. And today I want us to look at a thing or two, because it explains to us where the Ark of the Covenant is at this time. And then we have now, as we look at it, some Gentile people, so to speak, someone other than Jews, that's going to take the Ark of the Covenant. Now, we have talked about the Ark of the Covenant and how it was to be moved and the whole process. And, you know, we saw where Aaron and the priests have to make it ready to be moved. And then we found that those who were supposed to do the service of moving it after it had been made ready to move. And remember, it says they didn't touch it or do what? Look at it. Because if they did, it brought death. That was the death sentence. Now, a Jew messing with the Ark of the Covenant, if he was not in the priesthood, was a dangerous thing to be doing. And so if that's the case, if that's the situation, how about somebody that's not a Jew that messes with the Ark of the Covenant? Now let's look at something this morning and talk about that a little bit. So what we find that Eli and his two sons, who are priests, in the fourth chapter, they did some things that were wrong in the tabernacle and the sacrifices. And God told him to warn them about it. And they didn't adhere to it. So what it happened, it turns out that those two sons and Eli, God saw fit to dispose of them, and that he did. Now, In chapter number 4, we find that in verse number 2, there's a little scuffle, as there always is, and it's not changed to this day. The Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. Now, that's a pretty good whooping to the nation of Israel by the Philistines. Now, I want you to look at verse number 4. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from thence the what? The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli. Here we got Hophni and Phinehas, and were there with the Ark of the Covenant. So they're still dealing with the Ark of the Covenant in the moving. And it says, and when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was coming to the camp. So now they've gone up to Shiloh, they've got the Ark of the Covenant, and they brought it to the presence, in the presence of the camp of Israel. So it was not in the camp, and they brought it to the camp. Having a pretty good enjoyment out of the Ark of the Covenant being present again. They think if the Ark of the Covenant's in the camp, that truly the Lord will bless them, look after them and care for them, and they've seen this repeated time after time after time. And it said in verse number 7, when the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God is coming to the camp. And they said, woe unto us, for there have not been such a thing hitherto. Now, you think they don't know something about the Ark of the Covenant? And you think that they don't know the Ark of the Covenant and the nation of Israel got that Ark of the Covenant present, that you better not mess with the nation of Israel? But that's not the truth every time. Your relationship with the Lord has something to do about with your blessings. You need to remember that. Your relationship with the Lord has something to do with your blessings. And he says, woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? And they got an S on it, but they do call them mighty. These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Now, how much do they know about the God of Israel? They go all the way back to the nation of Israel. To the nation of Egypt, And they remember when they were in bondage in Egypt and God put the plagues on them and brought them out. They crossed the Red Sea and now they've crossed Jordan. They know all about that. And here's the comment, though. These Philistines are talking to each other, and they must have a pretty good leader. Be strong and quiet yourselves like men, O ye Philistines. You know, stand up like a man. Quit being a baby. That ye be not servants to the Hebrews, as they have been unto you. Quiet yourselves like men, and do what? And fight. And the Philistines fought, and Israel was what? Israel was smitten. Where's the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant was brought into camp. But still, when the men of battle went out to fight, they were smitten. And they fled every man into his own tent. And there was a very great slaughter, for there fell of Israel 30,000 footmen. Now, we got 30,000 here, and we've already got four in the starting of the chapter. So they're taking a pretty good beating. And the Ark of the Covenant in verse number 11 was what? Was taken. Now, that's what we want to talk about this morning, is the Ark of the Covenant being taken. And not only was the Ark of the Covenant taken, but the two sons of Levi were slain. Remember, they were the ones that brought the Ark of the Covenant. They were the priests. And if we go on down, we find that Eli also was sitting and fell off the seat that he was sitting on, broke his neck, and then he died. So now, verse number 22, his daughter-in-law, and she said, "The glory is departed from Israel, for the ark of God is taken." Now, what has departed from Israel because the ark has been taken? The glory of the Lord is departed because the ark has been taken. So now who's got the ark? The Philistines have got the ark. Now, our thought would be, mine would be, I don't know about yours, that as soon as those Philistines, according to what we've seen in God's word, as soon as those Philistines looked at the ark or touched the ark or done anything to the ark, they do what? They die. But that's not the way this is. Now, don't ask me why it's this way. I've not quite gotten there yet. This is God's doing and not mine. All I know is it says they took it. Now, you're going to see, though, what happens when they take it. It's not a good position to be in if you're not a Jew to have that ark present because of these consequences. When I was studying this, I kept thinking, you know, we're about like the Philistines in this country today. We're rubbing all this in God's face. And that brings a whole lot of trouble. Now, another thing that I've not been able to figure out yet. Now, when we talked about the Ark of the Covenant, how much gold was involved with that thing? See, everything was overlaid with gold. Cherubims were gold. Why didn't they melt that thing down? Why didn't they destroy the Ark of the Covenant? Why didn't they take it for what they could get out of it? We got to remember God's in charge. God's in charge. They took Christ and crucified him, but they didn't destroy him, did they? See, this, remember what we just said, the glory of Israel? Is this Ark of this Covenant? So who do you think got a protecting hand over the Ark of the Covenant? Now, in chapter number 5, in verse number 1, it says, "And the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon." Now, who is this that they've set it before? Their God. Is that not rubbing in their in Is that not rubbing in the face of God? Now, they respected it at least. But what happened when they put it with their God?
Their God respected it too.
And it says, when they of Ashdod arose early on tomorrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face. He was how? To the earth before the ark of the Lord. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. So they come in the next morning, and what's happened? He's on his face before the ark of the Lord. There is nothing greater than God. And every person and God of this universe one day is going to be in that same situation. They're going to be on their face before the Lord. So they come in and they set him up again. Now, I want you to notice, to get him back up, if he got back on his feet, who had to put him back on his feet? They had to put him back on his feet. The God I know stands on his own feet, and ain't nobody can put him on his face. Now, they're going to try this again. And when they rose early on the morning, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the ark of the Lord, and the head of Dagon and both his palms of his hands were cut off. So he'd been worked over pretty good now, has he not? And this act here is kind of going to get their attention. It says here, and Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. So they trimmed him up pretty good, didn't they? Therefore, neither the priest of Dagon nor any that came in Dagon's house tread upon the threshold of Dagon of Ashdod unto this day. But the hand of the Lord was heavy. So now who's come into the picture? See, there's more now come into the picture than just the Ark of the Covenant sitting there. It's the one who the Ark of the Covenant represents. And now we see that God himself has come into the picture. He's the final judge. So as he comes into the picture, it says, the hand of the Lord was what? Heavy, in verse number 6, upon them of Ashdod. And he destroyed them and smote them with emeralds, even Ashdod and the coast thereof. So it's all over the country now that God has struck them with emeralds. And when the men of Ashdod saw that it was so, they said, the ark of the Lord of Israel. Now they've gone a little bit farther. Now, when we started this off in chapter number 4, and I want you to look back in that 8th verse of chapter number 4 now, and what did they say there concerning Israel? They've got not a singular, but a plural. They've got gods listed there. But then when you get over here, when the hand of the Lord has being heavy upon them. Now what are they saying? They say, the Ark of God of Israel. So they've gone down now to a single God, and they've now gone down to a God of the nation of Israel. He says, shall not abide with us, for his hand is sore upon us and upon Dagon our God. And they sent therefore and gathered all the lords of the Philistines unto them and said, what shall we do with the Ark of God of Israel? And they answered, let the Ark of God of Israel be carried about unto Gath. And they carried the Ark of God of Israel about thither. Now, do you see anything in that concerns you? You think back now what we've been studying about the Ark of the Covenant and what he said to the nation of Israel. Don't look at it. Don't you even think about touching it. Lest ye die. But here's what we consider Gentiles, somebody other than the Jew, the Pharisee. And what are they doing? They're just carrying all over everywhere. And nothing's happening, per se. But as we look at this, why are they trying to get it out of their presence to start with? Because they've been a plague put on them, and it's killing people. And they have determined that it has something to do with the Ark of the Covenant. And they say, it's time to get that thing out of here. Let's do something with it. So they gathered it up and took it down to Gath. And it was so that after they had carried, verse number 9, it about, carried it about. The hand of the Lord was against the city with a great destruction. And he smote them of the city, both small and great. And they had emeralds in their secret parts. So if you want to know what that is, it's hemorrhoids. That's an everyday term that we use. So they said it's time to do something. Verse number 10, therefore they sent the Ark of God to Ekron. And it came to pass, as the Ark of God came into Ekron, the Ekronites cried out, saying, they have brought about the Ark of God of Israel. That's unusual now that every time they're talking about the Ark of God, they always put of Israel on it. They brought it to us to do what? To slay us and our people. They knew the strength. They knew the punishment. They knew that it didn't bring good, it brought bad and brought destruction. It brought pain and it brought disorder. So they sent and gathered together all the lords of the Philistines and said, send away the Ark of God of Israel and let it go against his own play, against its own play, that it slay us not and our people, for there are a deadly destruction throughout all the city, and the hand of God was very heavy there. And it's amazing when you look at the wording in this particular verse to me. Now, they talk about the Ark of the God of Israel. They talk about what it's bringing. And then in the latter part of that verse, the hand of God was very heavy there. And they recognize where it's coming from. And they talk about the God of Israel, and then they talk about God himself, the hand of God, the strength of God, the power of God. And they're feeling the destruction of God, because he said he's destroying this. In verse And the men that died, not were smitten with hemorrhoids, and the cry of the city went up to heaven. Not much comfort in the house, was there? And the ark of the Lord was in the country of the Philistine. How long? 7 months. What's the number seven? God kept it there until he fulfilled his purpose. So the Philistines called the priests and the writers and said, "What shall we do with the ark of the Lord? Tell us wherewith we shall send it to his place." And they said, "If ye send away the ark of the Lord of the God of Israel, send it not empty, but in any wise return him a trespass offering. Then ye shall be healed, and it shall be known to you by his hand is not will be known to you why his hand is not removed from you." Then said they, "What shall be the trespass offering when we shall return him?" And they answered, 5 golden emeralds and 5 golden mites, according to the number of the lords of Philistine. For one plague was on you all and on your lords." And if we go on, then they do all those things. Verse number 7, "Now therefore make a new cart." Now, I want you to pay attention to what I've just read. They have told them to make the images and those things necessary to put with the Ark of the Covenant, they felt was necessary to put with the Ark of the Covenant, and to send it back home. You send that thing back to the Jews. You send it back where it came from. But now, what did they do? And if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember this phrase in this particular verse. In verse number 7, "Now therefore make a new cart." They're going to take a new cart and take new mixed kerns, which is a cow, which there shall come, no yoke has been placed on, so notice that. And tie the kerns to the cart, and bring the calves home from them. So you remember the thing on this is they're going to make a new cart. So how are they going to transport it? They're going to put it on a new cart. They're going to take 2 kerns or 2 cows who have never had a yoke on them, and they're going to yoke them up, and they're going to tie them to this new cart. And he says, "Take the ark," in verse number 8, "take the ark of the Lord and lay it upon the cart." Not stand it, but lie it upon the cart. "And put the jewels of gold, which he returned him of the trespass offering, in the coffer by the side thereof, and send it away that it may go. And see if it goeth up by the way of his own coast to Beersheba, then he have done us this great evil. But if not..." Now what are they going to do? They're going to take and put these 2 cows who've never had a yoke on them, and they're going to hook them to a cart, and they're going to turn them loose. They're going to point them that way, and they can turn them loose. They ain't even going to be driving the cart. They're just going to watch. Now, how do you think that'd work if you was to try to do that? It'd be like trying to ride a bull in a rodeo, I imagine. But they hook them up. And they said, now, if they go up the way, the Bashibboleth, then you're going to know something. And this verse says, the latter part of the verse says, he has done us this great evil, but if not, then we shall know that it is not his hand that smote us. It was a chance that happened to us. So, how them two cows in that cart in the Ark of the Covenant gets along, it's going to make their mind up where God was in this or not. So they do exactly what they said. And the men did so and took the two cows and tied them to the cart and shut up their calves at home. And they laid the ark of the Lord upon the cart and the coffer with the mats of gold and the images of their emerald. And the Kern took the straight, now I want you to notice this, they took the what way? The straight way to Shibmesh and went along the highway doing what? Lowing as they went. He was blowing the horn, so to speak, as they take the cart and head home with it. Now, I want you to notice this. And as they went, they turned not aside to the right hand, nor to the left. And the Lord of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Bathsheba. What are they doing? They're not driving them. What are they doing? They're just watching them. And they take these two cows, they've never been hooked up to cart, never had a yoke on them, and sent them on the way, and they just like they've done it all their life. They just walked straight down the road. They didn't go right. They didn't go left. They didn't have a fit. They just lowed along as they went. They sang a song as they went, pulling the cart. And it says they went straight. Now, you think God didn't have a hand in that. And I'll tell you something else, too. God had a hand in it because it's going to determine what? It's going to determine how the Philistines see how God worked on them or how God did not work on them. They're going to see that the judgment came from God because of the Ark of the Covenant. And this is going to prove to them that it was not a happenstance. It was designed by God. Now, I want you to watch this. Mind you, there are Philistines that's doing all this. Laid that thing on the cart and whole 9 yards. And there Mephibosheth were reaping in verse number 13 in their wheat harvest in the valley, and they lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoice to see it. It says they did what? They lifted up their eyes and saw the ark and rejoiced to see it. A little bit strange, is it not? Let's read on. I don't know. All I know is they put in a new cart. All I know is they laid it down. I don't know what kind of covering it might have had on it. I would hope that they covered it up. And I personally, now you remember I said this, and I personally believe that God showed them exactly what he wanted done with that ark before they loaded it on that cart and laid it down. I don't know that it was covered. It don't say that it was covered. But all it says is that they saw the ark. Now, keep that thought in mind. So now it's coming home. And the cart, 14, and the cart came into the field of who? Of Joshua, the Bashemite, and stood there. There was a great stone, and they carved the wood of the cart and offered the kern for burnt offerings to the Lord. So what did they do? They did offering and sacrifice right then, immediately. They cut that cart up, Brother Rowe, to kill them two cows and to make a sacrifice. And the Levites took down the ark of the Lord. Now, I want you to look. Who took the ark off the cart? The Levite. The tribe of Levi are the what tribe of the nation of Israel? They're the priestly tribe of the nation of Israel. They did the priestly work of the ark. And they took the ark off the cart. Then they cut that cart up and killed them cows and done their offering and their sacrifices. And it said they took the offer that was with it, wherein the jewels of gold were, and put them on the great stone, and the men of the best might offered burnt offerings and sacrifices the same day unto the Lord. And when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, they returned from Ekron the same day. So now what's going on with those who sent the cows away? They watched the whole process, and they know everything that's happened. So now they're satisfied. They've seen how the nation of Israel accepted it, and they know the nation of Israel has now gotten it. So they're going to go back home and give a report. Channel 5 News, I reckon. So they're going to go back home and tell them what took place. And he said, when the five lords of the Philistines had seen it, now notice there was five of them, and they went back. Verse number 17, and these are the gold emeralds which the Philistines returned from the trespass and upon the Lord of Ashdod, one and of Gaza and of Ashkelon and Gath and so on. And verse number 18, the golden mice according to the number of all the cities of the Philistines belonging to the five lords, both of the fenced cities and the country village, even unto the great stone of Adam, whereon they set down the ark of God, which stone remaineth until this day, in the field of Joshua the Bethlehemite. Verse number 19, and he smote the men of the Bethlehemites because. Because what? Is that not kind of strange? Now, what have we seen? It says, and he smote them because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote of the people. What's that figure? 50,000 and 80 and 10 men. And the people lamented because the Lord had smitten many of the people with a great slaughter. And the men of the Bethlehemite said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God, and to whom shall he go up from us? And they sent messengers into the inhabitants of Kajaroth Jerimon, saying, the Philistines have brought again the ark of the Lord. Come down and fetch it up to you. And the men of Jerem came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hills of the sanctuary of Ebenezer and Eleazar, the sons, to keep the ark of the Lord. We should notice verse number 2 now. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Jerem, that the time was long, for it was what? 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. So they took the ark and they put it in a specific location, and it stayed there for 20 years. And no benefit to the nation of Israel. And our time's gone, we'll have to quit. But now, is it not unusual that the Philistines could do what they did with the Ark of the Covenant, and they could put it on a new cart, and they could hook it up and send it away and do all those things that they did. But as soon as the Jews got involved in it, those of the nation of Israel got involved in it, and they decided they'd take a peek at it, then what did it bring? It brought judgment. Our time is gone. We're going to discuss this a little bit more as we go farther into this. There's a whole lot in this that we just read over if we don't pay attention. But if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember the phrase, they took and made a new cart. Because that's important. Because we're going to see that come up again. You know, God has one way and one plan. And we're going to follow His way and we're going to follow His plan, or we're going to pay a price. And He don't mess around. And I think we've seen here, if you don't do it like I say do it, then destruction stands in your midst. We're thinking, have a good day.